Al, it's time to talk about a Zelda game. I know, very surprising.
I love Zelda games.
A shocking thing to talk about on this here podcast.
We never talk about Zelda.
No, but it is one that I hadn't played. Well, I mean, I'd played it before, but I hadn't finished it until now.
I didn't realize you'd never finished it.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Oh, no, nay.
Just took 11 years to get around to finishing it.
You know, I'm proud of you, though, buddy.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yay, look at me. Except you can't, because this is audio.
Yeah, I don't know if they can hear me. I don't know if they can hear me clapping either, but I was clapping for you.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Seasonal Anime Checkup OVA. It's a podcast where we have conversations about video games, anime, and manga. Hello, I'm Jared, joined as always by Doc Al and Ladium.
Hello.
This is episode 380, and we are going to talk about The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. It's a video game. They put it on the Nintendo 3Dimensionals.
Nintendo 3Dimensionals.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you call it, right? Yeah, this this game came out on November the 22nd of 2013 in North America, and wouldn't come out until December in Japan of 2013, which is a weird way to do that,
it's
for sure.
It's very weird. It's usually reversed.
Yeah. An interesting way to do that. This is a quasi kind of, not sort of, sequel to A Link to the Past. It's basically, hey, this is the same universe as A Link to the Past, but many, 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 many years after the fact. So, like, the characters are, you know, similar, but not necessarily. This isn't the same Link in all them characters from A Link to the Past. It's just, you know, it's a Zelda game, so they have to be the same, but not the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are, like, descendants that exist.
Right.
Also, didn't they have the same title in Japanese? I don't remember.
Yes.
Okay. Like, it's very, very clearly the same world, just
yes,
much, much later.
Yeah, this isn't necessarily like the Satellaview game, where it is a very direct sequel to that.
Direct sequel. It's not Majora's Mask to Ocarina.
Right. So, it's not necessarily the same in that aspect, but it is, like, the same universe. Like, this is, if you wanted to get into the badness of the timeline stuff, like, this would actually make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the very few times where it does.
You know, sometimes it did make sense to have, like, a timeline, but shoehorning them in places where it doesn't fit? No. No. I'm good. But this one, it made sense. Like, it connects directly to Link to the Past. But not with the same characters.
Let's talk about the development of this video game.
Okay.
In late 2009, following the completion of Spirit Tracks for the Nintendo DS, the majority of its development team were assigned to work on Skyward Sword for the Wii. Three members of the Spirit Tracks team began working on a new handheld Zelda game for the upcoming Nintendo 3DS console. Two of the three members working on the new game were Hiramasa Shikata and Shiro Mori. During this early phase, they had not considered developing a sequel to A Link to the Past. Instead, they were building a game around the theme of communication. Around 6 months into the project, they presented their concept for the game to series creator Shigeru Miyamoto, who called the idea outdated.
Miyamoto's calling somebody's idea outdated?
Shocker, I know.
Bruh.
The three then decided to rethink the concept. Shikata proposed the idea of Link having the ability to enter and merge onto walls. This feature would eventually become one of the unique gameplay aspects. Within a day, Mori had created an initial prototype to demonstrate the feature, and seeing it in action led to an influx of ideas. Link was able to transform from a 3D character to a 2D character by entering walls and then move smoothly around corners to reach places he previously could not. This ability opened up possibilities for creating new puzzles and using new mechanics. At this stage in the project, they still considered the game an extension of the DS Zelda games and used the same viewpoint design of Link from Spirit Tracks. Around October of 2010, the prototype was presented to Miyamoto, who approved of the new concept. However, within 2 weeks of entering production, core members of the development team were reassigned to work on launch games for Nintendo's Wii U console, which was scheduled for release in 2012. With the team disbanded, development ceased. In November of 2011, Skyward Sword was released for the Wii, and Zelda series producer Eiji Aonuma began thinking about the next project in the series. While Nintendo had released a remake of Ocarina of Time for the 3DS, demand for an original Zelda game on the 3DS was growing. Aonuma chose to revisit the idea of Link entering walls. With Shikata and Mori still engaged in the development of Wii U launch titles, Aonuma decided to revive the project without his core members 13 months after it was shelved. Kentaro Tominaga was brought onto the team to continue where Shikata had left off. He refined the system of entering walls and designed some small dungeons, which he presented to Miyamoto in May of 2012. Tominaga planned to create 50 more small dungeons that would use the wall entering mechanic, but Miyamoto criticized this approach and suggested basing the new game on A Link to the Past. Aonuma proposed combining the wall entering mechanic with a top-down perspective and in landforms of A Link to the Past. He felt that the shifted perspective when entering a wall would be complemented by the stereoscopic 3D capabilities of the 3DS, you know, something that everyone used, of course. Aonuma converted the two-dimensional landforms of A Link to the Past into three-dimensional space, and the team placed Link into the setting with a wall entering mechanic to test the feature. After several more presentations, the Miyamoto development of the project was allowed to progress in July. The development team began expanding before the end of 2012, with people joining from finished projects. Shikata rejoined as director and Mori returned as assistant director and lead programmer. Development was completed in October of 2013.
The wall entering mechanic and the way that a lot of the puzzles are designed in this game are like easily one of my favorite parts of this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's so clever at times.
It's very good.
I really, really love it. So thank you guys for doing that. Good job. Because, yeah, it was a really, really unique experience. And I thought that it was a ton of fun. Made me have to rethink how I think of Zelda puzzles, which I like.
Got to turn that brain around. Here's about the technical design of the game. Implementing the top-down perspective became a particular problem and resulted in a lot of trial and error. With a true top-down view, players would be unable to see characters' faces and bodies. To circumvent this issue, objects in the world were slanted at an angle so they were more visible. Mori requested that the game run at 60 frames per second instead of 30 to stabilize the stereoscopic 3D and smoothen movement animations. While doubling the frame rate increased the processing load, it allowed the developers to implement a feature where players could select items by dragging and dropping them from their inventory using the Nintendo 3DS's touchscreen and stylus. At 30 frames, this feature felt too sluggish for the stylus's movement. Rethinking the conventions of Zelda became an important theme as development progressed. In previous Zelda games, the player would go into a dungeon and obtain a new item and then move on to the next dungeon in a specific order. The development team felt that this formula was flawed as a player could get stuck on a dungeon and be unable to progress. They wanted to give the player more freedom in ways they could advance, allowing them to tackle dungeons in any order and clear multiple dungeons in parallel. But this meant that the method for acquiring items had to be changed. They opted for a system where players could rent or purchase items using rupees. In the final game, rented items are returned to the merchant when the player is defeated, but the team had considered other ideas for returning rented items, such as setting a timer or the rental period imposing fees if they were returned late.
It's a blockbuster!
It is!
Oh my god!
The development team found out about the Nintendo 2DS during production. As the 2DS lacked 3D capabilities, the team decided to revise some of the dungeon designs to be certain that they could be completed without the 3D effect. The designers thought that Link's appearance should change when Link entered a wall and the perspective switched from a top-down view to a side view. They chose to make Link a mural when he was on the wall. This led to the creation of the antagonist Yuga, a sorcerer that can transform himself and others into paintings. Aonuma mentioned that the idea of Link turning into a mural was inspired by Phantom Ganon jumping into paintings during his encounter in Ocarina of Time.
Oh.
As the story takes place long after the events of A Link to the Past and the player travels between the two worlds of Hyrule and Lowrul, the development team chose A Link Between Worlds instead of A Link to the Past 2 for the English language title. So there you go. This game currently has a Metacritic score of a 91 out of 100.
Nice.
And of course, in 2013, it was nominated a lot for Game of the Year.
It was a very good game.
It was. It still is a very good game, it turns out.
It still is a very good game, yes.
Since then, they've put characters from this game in games like Hyrule Warriors.
Also a very good game.
You can have Ravio's hood in Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
They put music...
And Tears of the Kingdom.
Yes. They put music from this game in Smash Brothers, which, of course, because there's music from every game in history in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess Triforce Heroes is a direct continuation of this, which that seems fake. I don't believe that.
No, that game sucks. And it says here Princess Zelda's design in Smash Brothers is partially based on Link Between Worlds.
Yes, that yeah, that's true.
Which is cool. It's like a combo between like Link Between Worlds and like Link to the Past, her official like princess outfit as opposed to her blue dress outfit.
Right.
So it's kind of neat that they did that.
So yeah, A Link Between Worlds. I had bought this game back in 2013 because everyone was like, "Wow, this game's really good." And I was like, "I've played a Zelda game before. That's probably fine." But this was the me of then where like I didn't beat Zelda games. I'd beaten Twilight Princess and that was it. So I got like kind of far into this, not even really kind of far. I got to the Dark World and then like just got beat up in dungeons and stopped playing. It probably wasn't until I met you where I actually started like being able to beat Zelda games. So I had a little ways to go until that happened.
Did I just like rub off Zelda energy to you and you're like, all right, I can
Apparently
beat Zelda games now?
that was the case.
Heck yeah!
So
I'm
this
good for something.
was that's true of a lot of things.
Oh, I just snotted.
So this was a game I'd eventually, I'd wanted to go back to and play at some point, and then I saw a streamer playing it, and I was like, "Oh, I should probably play this game because there's after all the 1,000 hours of JRPGs that are coming out in the beginning of this year." So I just had to dust off my 3DS literally and charge it up, and it's like, "All right, let's dive into this." Yeah, this game is still very good. I think the thing that really works for this game is that essentially it is what you would do if you were remaking A Link to the Past and not just doing like, oh, we're going to make a one-to-one recreation of it. We're going to remake it but also add new ideas to it. And I think that helps a lot. Like, this game really does a fine job of like balancing it being a nostalgia act but also a new game unto itself. So like it's interesting considering how much we've played Link to the Past Randomizer over the past like 5 or so years that like now I can just be like, oh, I know where this and this is, so I can just like go and do all this sort of stuff. And
You get it now.
it's interesting to see like how these areas have changed over time from A Link to the Past to this game. So that was really fun and neat. And also, I think just playing A Link to the Past Randomizer as well has made me a lot better at Zelda games, where like this game seemed easy for me and I didn't die, so I was like, all right, cool. All right.
Heck yeah. Well, and I wonder if like the randomizer helped you with the way that this game functions because you can do things out of order
Right.
since you rent.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to worry about like, all right, I got to do this dungeon, this dungeon, this dungeon, like in this order. Whereas like with the randomizers, this is kind of the same kind of style that, okay, I have this item, what can I do with it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, once you get to Low Rule, which is like that's the Dark World equivalent, where the game opens up, and that's where you have all the dungeons you can kind of go do willy nilly. That's kind of just what I did. Definitely did some dungeons that I probably could have used the blue mail for, which would have been nice because some of those enemies hit very hard, and I did not have that many hearts at the time. But you suck it up and get through it.
Ripperoni. How quickly did you decide to get a hook shot?
I think immediately. I
I
mean,
know
come on,
you.
it's me.
I know you.
Hookshot is the best item in the game, of course. But yeah, it was interesting as well because like the dungeons as well are very similar to what they were in the original game, but they have, new improvements or there's like different takes on them. Like I think the one that really sticks out to me is the Thieves Town dungeon, where in A Link to the Past, you have the whole deal with like you go and find the prisoner and you bring them, you try and save them, but then oh my gosh, it's the boss actually.
Right, like,
And
oh no, I can't go out there. It's too bright.
yeah, and then like they kind of play onto that in this where like you find a prisoner and you help them escape, but this time they're not the boss, they're just someone who was caught, was actual prisoner, and you're trying to help them.
He's like, oh, wait a minute.
Like, I thought that was a good little way to, subvert your expectations of what you're supposed to think about when it comes to these dungeons and everything. So that was really neat. It was cool as well. Like, there's like, little mini character quests that you can run into and do that like will follow up upon as you continually progress through the game, where like you find that prisoner later on in a cave and they're like, yeah, I'm just hiding out here, you know, just chilling because that town was real weird and everything, but hey, here's some stuff for you because you helped me out. That was real cool. So I thought that stuff was really neat, and just like it plays really well. Like it's basically kind of what you feel like you're playing Link to the Past, but like just a little bit different and improved upon. So like you can just kind of like get back into that mindset if you've played Link to the Past before, and it's like there's no real like leap in logic or anything. But yeah, this game is very fun. I didn't have a hard time with it. Didn't feel like I really had to look a lot of stuff up. Like the only things I had to really look up was just like if I was in a dungeon, just making sure I got all the items. Just like is there a hidden item in here that I need to get or anything of that nature, or if like someone had a quest item that I was just like, or like a weird quest that I just wanted to figure out exactly how to do it. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing I really had to look up was like, how do I find the running boots? Cause like I didn't know where those were. But then like, once I looked up, I was like, oh right, got to do this, and this, like that makes sense. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And all that was, you know, fairly straightforward and all that. Yeah, it's just, I really, really had a good time with this game. It's very, very fun. Which obviously is not surprising considering people have been saying that since 2013, that, hey, this game's very good.
Hi, it's me. I've been saying that since 2013.
It just took me a while to get around to doing it and playing it. And
you had to practice first.
I think like playing all that Link to the Past randomizer and everything really gave me more of a appreciation for this game, which I didn't have prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
You
can see the love letter now. You understand it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the stuff they talked about, how like, you know, making it more open in terms of like, go do whatever dungeon you want. Here's all the key items you'll need for specific dungeons. Go have fun and do it whatever order you want is a really smart change that they'd made here. Because it just opens up how you can play the game and how you can approach the game in a way that, like, you can't really do in any of the previous Zelda games up until mm-hmm. that point. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a very smart change that they did. And you can kind of see how that ideology would lend itself to something like a Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom in terms of, like,
it's
that openness.
That, like, two of the games made around the same time ended up being, like, big inspirations for Breath of the Wild style games, because this one has like the you can do dungeons in any order type thing, and then Skyward Sword had like the stamina wheel and all that fun stuff, and mm-hmm. it's like, huh, interesting that they're like, what if we mash these things together and just put out this game? And it was really good.
The 2D stuff I think is also a very good idea.
It's so fun.
One,
it's really clever.
Yeah, it's really clever. It really changes the dynamic of the game entirely, because if you're coming to this from A Link to the Past or like even just other Zelda games in particular, you have an idea of what Zelda puzzle design is like. And mm-hmm. with this, it really kind of changes how you think about that, because instead of being just like, oh, I'm stuck, how do I get out of this? You can be like, oh, well, what if I just merge into the wall and see if there's any new avenues around here that
go
I can
around
move.
This corner.
Go around the corner, or go around the room or something. Like, it just made it, it just changed up the way you think about puzzles in this game in a way that mm-hmm. really, really worked, and just, it really kept me on my toes in a way that I wasn't expecting, because it's like, I could think of like, okay, am I actually stuck, or is there something else here that I can do? Like, is there another option? Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, previously, like I said, you don't really have that option, which is nice in this game that you have that option. I think the story stuff is interesting, because it's like, it's not necessarily, hey, we're just doing the Link to the Past story again. They
right.
do different things with it. All the stuff with like Hyrule is interesting, of like, it's Hyrule, but not we have an upside down Triforce. We got emo princess.
Yeah, she definitely has been rolling around in Hot Topic.
Mm-hmm.
All the purple is really nice, though.
I think that the reveal of her kind of like being behind things was very easily telegraphed, but
yeah, that's not necessarily a bad thing, though.
No, it's just, they very much were like, "Hey, this is how this is going to happen." I'd forgotten that
the Ravio reveal.
I'd forgotten about that because I think I had seen that somewhere before, just you know, over
probably Hyrule Warriors,
maybe that, or just like just being on the internet for the past 11 years.
Okay, yeah, that too.
But I had definitely forgotten that was a thing, and then I was like, oh right, this is the thing.
That one is a lot less telegraphed, and
yeah,
like,
exactly,
when you get that reveal, it's a big, like, it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting perspective on like what would Link be like if he wasn't like the courageous dude we know.
What if he was a capitalist?
What if he was a capitalist? And the thing is that, like, that's one thing I really like about the Ravio character is not the capitalist. That part sucks. is that, like, even though he considers himself a coward, like, he's still trying to figure out ways to help. So, like, that in and of itself is a form of bravery.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't realize it.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat. I like his little bunny hat. I don't like that he just steals our house, though.
I mean, it is his house as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, debatable, but he's like, hey, we're basically the same guy, so your house is my house, right? Anyway, give me rupees.
I do find it funny, though, as well. You can just be like, he's like, oh, you'll let me stay here, right? No. What do you mean? No.
No.
Please? No.
No.
I mean, come on. I mean, I guess.
No.
All right. That part's fun.
That's good. I imagine you took that route because it sounds like something you would do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Yuga is actually interesting, too.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, he's not, like, the big bad, but, like, he's pretty cool. I like his design a lot.
Just a weirdo who wants to make weird paintings. Turn people into paintings. You know, as you do.
As you do.
I think it's also smart as well, like, since they do the dealing to the past stuff again, where it's like, go find the three pendants to get the Master Sword, and then once you get to Lowrul, it's go find the seven sages, and this is not just like, here's unnamed sage number seven you get to go find. It's like,
right,
we made all the sages actual characters that you know and have interacted with in this game. So,
not just a maiden.
Right, so it's like, you know, you have Impa, you have Sasha Lahara's kid, associate, whatever. You have little kids you know from the blacksmith. You got the Zora Queen. You have the lady from the Sanctuary.
It's about like Ocarina in that sense.
Yes. You have this one dude from the... he's like the ore guy from the mines. Like, he's like a miner. And then you have the witch lady who is the granddaughter of the potion brewing witch, but also is your fast travel helper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was fun. That like everyone has like a part. And, like, there's it's not just, like, unnamed, just random people that you have no idea who they are, but you have to save them regardless.
With the same design.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like...
Because all the maidens look the same.
Let's make this more meaningful for you when you get to go hang out with them. And then they go like, oh, hey, what's up? I'm a sage. Isn't that crazy? Anyways.
Whoa. Neat.
Anyways, you should probably go find the rest of us. And get things done. Anyways, go on out of here. Get on out of here.
Go on, kid.
Go on, get out of here, kid.
I'm dying to know one thing.
What's up?
Did you at all struggle at first to figure out the final boss and how that worked?
A little bit.
Because I initially was like, huh? What do I do here? And then I finally figured out, I was like, oh my God, that's so smart. But it took me a little bit for it to click.
Yeah, there was parts where I was just like shooting him. And I was like, what? This isn't doing anything. It's just stopping.
Not doing anything.
All right. Well, that's weird. And then like eventually
cool
I just like learned,
2D.
Oh, right. I got to turn around and shoot him.
Yeah. It is such a cool use of the 2D.
The TD.
The TD.
Yeah, I thought a lot of the boss fights were really well done. Like, there's quite a few of them that are just like, you know, recreations of boss fights from A Link to the Past. I mean, the best mm-hmm. part about this is that when you fight the worm guy, you know, my favorite boss from A Link to the Past, of course.
Is he?
You know, in A Link to the Past, when he knocks you off the edge and back down to the lower level, you have to go back up and redo the entire boss fight again. Mm-hmm. And this, if you get knocked off, you just go back up and the boss fight continues and he still has the damage taken. I was like, oh, thank you.
It's the best. What's his name? Moldaworm?
Piece of trash worm. That's his name.
You know what? I think that fits better. We'll just call him Piece of Trash Worm that is too bouncy for his own good.
Yes, way too bouncy.
Too bouncy.
But yeah, that was very nice. I was very appreciative of that.
Yeah, that is a good change. Mm-hmm. Hoofa doofa.
Hoofa doofa. But yeah.
Hoofa doofa.
This game's very good. I know it's a shocking thing to say.
I know.
About this game, but it is very good. Once again, continues to sadden me that we have not had a new 2D Zelda game since this game came out.
It sucks because, like, yeah, that's the thing, is we haven't had a new original one. Because a lot of the, like, 2D, especially the handheld ones, were, like, really creative. Minish Cap was really creative. This one was really creative. Spirit Tracks was creative. Phantom Hourglass was... And then, you know, we don't talk about the Oracle games.
Mm-mm.
But this is a top tier Zelda game. And I may just be saying that because I am A Link to the Past pilled entirely. And so, like, this game was basically made at, like, hey, you. You liked Link to the Past, right? And I'm like, uh-huh. And they're like, you want to play this game? I'm like, uh-huh. Like, I was their target audience, obviously. But, like, it is a very, very good game. And, like, I don't know, man. I don't know how to even get my brain to function at this point and say the words I wanted to say. But I enjoyed it a lot. And I think that it is a worthy successor to the Link to the Past name, if we're going by Japanese.
Sure.
Yeah. Lives up to the legend, I guess.
Lives up to the legacy.
There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. I said legend because it was like Zelda. Legend.
Well, this had me also curious about something, which was when we did our ranking of Zelda games.
Uh-huh.
I obviously had not played this game.
How high did I rank it?
Well, let's see here, because you were the one in charge of this. We put it at number 8.
Would you move it now?
Would I move it?
Yeah, like, would we as a team move it at this point?
I think so.
Okay, what?
I think
what's
it goes
above, it?
Above Skyward Sword.
Okay, yeah, I could buy that.
I think it goes above Wind Waker.
I could see that. I really like Wind Waker, but I really like.
I think
this
it goes
one too, so
above original Majora's Mask.
Oh, did we separate 3D?
We did.
And okay, yeah.
Because we're sickos like that.
Yeah, original Majora. Yeah.
And then it probably goes above Zelda 2.
Ooh, that's high praise coming from you.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if it
sink.
Does it go above Majora's Mask 3D? It might go above Majora's Mask 3D. So I probably would put this at least on this list, because this list is not completely updated because we don't have Tears of the Kingdom or anything on that because that game didn't exist when we did this.
Right.
I would probably put this at like number 3.
Okay, wow. That is very high praise from you.
Hey, this game's pretty good.
It's pretty dang good.
I mean, obviously, we should move up Hyrule Warriors original 3DS version to number 1, but that's just, you know, me saying things, but that's a conversation for another time. But yeah, this game, I had a blast playing through this game. Like, it was just so much fun. The only detriment I would say about this game is that holding the 3DS for long periods of time is very painful. It is not comfortable.
I have a better time with it because I have tiny baby hands. And what 3DS do you have?
XL.
You do have the XL. I was going to say, I have the 3DS XL. But I have tiny baby hands, so it doesn't bug me too much to
little
sit there and play
it. Little tiny baby hands.
But you do not have tiny little baby hands, so I imagine you have to, like, claw at it. You gotta have that weird claw grip. Which probably is not comfortable. And we're getting in our 30s, or I'm very far in my 30s at this point. I say that as if I'm not my mid-30s. Like, you know, the finkies aren't what they used to be. The joints ain't what they used to be. Holding that thing for a while, I could see that. I just called us old.
Well, it's true.
Ripperoni us.
Ripperoni and pepperoni. But yeah, that's A Link Between Worlds. It is a very good game.
Very good game. It's also really cute. Like, aesthetically, it's very cute.
It would be cool if this game was unleashed from the jail of 3DS, but I doubt that's going to happen anytime soon.
I doubt it.
But yeah, if you have the means to play this game or whatever, you should play A Link Between Worlds. It is very good. And that's gonna do it for us this week.
Nintendo make another cool handheld.
Yes, or just a cool
Zelda.
2D Zelda game.
Yeah, make a new Zelda game that's not a 3D Zelda game.
Yeah.
Do it, you cowards.
But yeah, if you'd like
more, that's also not Triforce Heroes because that's a bad game.
That game doesn't exist. You can't tell me that that's a real thing. If you'd like more from us, head on over to seasonalanimecheckup.com or sac.cools, where you can find past episodes of this podcast and other podcasts like Jared and Al Watch. You can also find columns and reviews on the site as well. If you'd like more from Ann Ladium, go to annladium.com. She's got columns and reviews. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Anime Checkup. You can follow us on Blue Sky at seasonalanimecheckup.com. You can buy our books, One Shiny Moment, A Critical Analysis of Love, Life, Sunshine, Hot Tubs, and Pac-Man on amazon.com. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/sacova. Buy us a slice of pizza, get access to unedited versions of the podcast early. Our monthly movie Patreon exclusive bonus podcast where we watch movies and other stuff or whatever. We just do things.
We do things.
We watched The Iron Claw for March. So we got sad and talked about wrestling, you know, as you do.
Mm-hmm. As you do. And how yoked up Zac Efron is.
Also, yes, that as well. True things that are in that podcast. So you can listen to that if you're a member of the Patreon. You can, of course, you know, listen to that for just one doll hair if you want. One doll
single
hair.
Single doll hair. Wow.
Wow.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah. Next week, we'll talk about, I don't know, something else.